Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Thursday, October 25th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, week 8 starts off tonight, the second half of the regular fantasy season. How you feeling?
Doing good. It's been a busy night, busy morning, waiver pickups, trades, etc. And an interesting interesting trade scenario maybe I'll run by in a little while.
Sure. All right, sounds good. I'm always here to help. I help the Stats Overbeat Cypher. We help the callers here. I'm always a source of information and feedback whenever you want. And if you guys want that, so many ways you could join the show or contact us. First, you could give us a call at 844-843-6879. You could always hit us up on Twitter as well. I'm at Spittin' Speeds. Scott is at Scotty Roto X. We got a good show for you. We also got to tell you about the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in season and fantasy football package. Enter the promo code the king at checkout. You will get in that package some things like the King's week 8 rankings, and we'll dig into some of those a little bit later on in the show. Maybe I'll find the gentleman's bet for week 8 with my man Scotty Angle. But let's dive in here, Scotty. News and notes. The first thing is, I say it all the time on Wednesday, you're going to get a ton of DNPs, you're going to get a ton of practice reports, but don't let it cause alarm. We talk about what's trending in the right or the right or the wrong direction throughout the week. So for example, Scott, Jay Gruden says that Adrian Peterson is going to get Wednesdays off for the rest of the season. You know, so that's just an example to you. Every week, you're going to see that, but it should not cause alarm for some vets like Adrian Peterson. We see that with D-Hop and others, right, Scott? Again, I know I say it every week, but, like, this Wednesday practice report is merely the baseline.
Yeah, it is. You know, I remember when the Seahawks used to give Marshawn Lynch, Wednesdays off.
Sure.
You know, when he was in the prime of his career, so there's nothing to see here, although Peterson is 33 years old. He's obviously got a lot of mileage. You know, it's a smart thing to do. He's been getting a little banged up here and there, but he's still producing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Washington football team will take on the New York Giants. By the way, the first place Washington football team will take on the New York Giants, and they know they need Adrian Peterson. You made a great point yesterday, Scott. I went ahead and I made a DFS lineup, and Adrian Peterson is one of my running backs at 7,000. I don't mind the practice report to the questionable tag. What I mind is that the New York football Giants traded away Snacks Harrison yesterday. While we were on air, we broke the story to Detroit. So that, you know, severely weakens their run defense. It looks like the Giants and the Raiders are, you know, waving the white flag on the season, right, Scotty? I mean, who do you think is going to trade more players, you know, before next Tuesday? The Giants? I'm hearing word of things like Janoris Jenkins, potentially, and others. Or the Raiders, where could it be crazy enough that Derek Carr would even be on the move? Who's going to trade more players, Scott, the Raiders or the Giants?
Let's see. Who has more pieces to give up that are viable? well, the Giants had. Giants are not going to give up like Beckham or Ingram or anything.
I'm talking about like a Janoris Jenkins, maybe.
I think it's hard to predict at this point. I guess if we're gonna total it up, I think it's gonna be about a draw.
Yeah, let's zoom out a little bit. We made this comment yesterday, and I want to kind of reinforce it, Scotty. I think we both believe this to be true. Why, in your opinion, might we actually see more trades this year than what we used to see in the NFL, say, 5 years ago? It seems like there's more activity around the trade deadline this year. We've already seen people like Carlos Hyde, Amari Cooper, and others on the move. There's rumors about other people, Demaryius Thomas. Why do you think it is that we might see more action than usual in the NFL?
Because they pay attention to fantasy football, and that's what everybody in fantasy football does. To be honest with you, I don't think there's any certain trend about it. You can't point to anything specific and say, okay, this is why they do it more than they did in the past. I don't think there's anything solid.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Listen, on Wednesday, I always say this is the practice reports, but I'm not worried about the injuries just yet. We'll tell you who you really need to worry about tomorrow when we talk to Dr. A from Inside Injuries. But there was a couple of injury news, and to be quite honest, more people that are coming back to practice that I want to ask you about. And the first guy I want to ask you about is your guy, Scotty, Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle back at practice. Now, one, do you think that means that he's trending to, again, play this Sunday against Oakland? But I think the more important question is, owners have been, you know, pleasantly surprised by Eric Ebron. He is tight end 3 or 4 right now, depending on your scoring settings. So if you have Eric Ebron, you lucked into a top tight end in your lap. If Doyle comes back, is it party overtime for Ebron owners?
I think not party over, but I think he takes a hit. And I'm trying to move him in one league this morning because Doyle will be back in the next 2 weeks. And you have T.Y. Hilton back, so the days of big numbers for Eric Ebron might be done.
Okay, fair enough. So definitely something to look at. I mean, are you still, let's say T.Y. Hilton comes back. Let's say Jack Doyle comes back, right? Are you still starting Eric Ebron?
Depends on who else I have. I mean, in one league I have Eric Ebron and Trey Burton, so I'm not. So it really depends on who else you have, because I think it'll be go back to where Ebron is the touchdown guy and Doyle is more of the guy outside the 20s.
Yeah, right now I look at your week 8 rankings, and we're still with Doyle as uncertain but just returning to practice. You have Trey Burton as your number 5 tight end this week against the Jets. You have Eric Ebron as your number 6 tight end this week against Oakland. Those guys behind Kelce, Ertz, of course, Rob Gronkowski, and don't forget about George Kittles and Bitts right there going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Those are your 6 top tight ends in your rankings for week 8 in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in-season fantasy package. Ace, Scotty, you know I'm a Jets fan, so and Bavona, you know how much I love this guy. You know, it was one of the first nicknames and songs that I put out there on, you know, as Speed's the Spitting Statistician. I'm talking about Boom Boom Bilal Pow Pow. And it looks like Bilal Pow, unfortunately, is sent to IR. He's got a neck injury. It looks like he's going to have neck surgery, which is obviously very serious. Head coach Todd Bowles actually said that they're concerned that his career may be in doubt. So first things first, we want to send our warm wishes and hope it all works out for Bilal Powell as a human being. Priority, right, over as a football player. But then as we look to the football implications, Scotty, I have two layers of questions here. There you go. Yeah, let's tip our cap to Bilal Powell. But, you know, next man up is where fantasy owners want to look for, Scotty.
Strictly Roots.
Yeah, man. Everything Irie. You know, pour a little bit out.
Let me tell you three things about Bilal Powell.
You know? But moving forward, Bavona, moving forward, Scotty. How far up now? Because this is, you know, less of a timeshare. There's reason to like kind of Isaiah Crowell already. How far does this bump up Isaiah Crowell?
I don't think it does, because you never know what you get from Isaiah Crowell. It could be 200 yards 1 week and zero the next. The only thing it does is it makes Trenton Cannon like a deeper pickup. You know, picked him up in a few leagues, because if it ends up being a timeshare, I'd like to see what this kid can do.
Interesting. Scotty, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into your plans. I know a lot of people were targeting, talking about Cannon. I am not, Scotty. You know why? Elijah McGuire comes off the PUP list next week. And going into the season, Elijah McGuire is someone who the Jets were very intrigued by, very excited by. Our guy Emery Hunt, you know, friend of the network who does great work and great scouting, was very high on Elijah McGuire as well. I knew people would say Trenton Cannon, and that is the first thought. And he was kind of toiling as this, you know, maybe a little third down spark, Ricky Bobby shake and bake guy. But they have Elijah McGuire coming back to fill that role. Would you rather look at Cannon than Elijah McGuire?
Well, Cannon, you know, get the opportunity this week, and you know how long would it take McGuire to get worked back in? Plus, McGuire, we heard that last year, and then when he really got an opportunity to play, he didn't do much with it. He struck me as more of a special teamer, and you know, a guy that was maybe worth a few carries a game, but couldn't really handle much of an expanded workload.
Interesting. As a Jets fan, I've seen this a lot. I feel differently about it, Scott. I do think that Elijah McGuire is ultimately will prove himself to be above Trenton Cannon on the depth chart. But you're right. I mean, he will maybe, you know, we don't know the status of his injury. I do know that he is looking like he's going to be ready to return from the PUP list next week. But how long it takes him to, whatever, it's get into the flow, get into football shape, whatever, that is a variable I don't know. I do know, though, that this team really does like Elijah McGuire. So it is a name to note. Just keep an eye out on that. I do think Crowell will get a bigger share of the opportunity. To your point, though, Scott, it doesn't always lead to production. He has been inconsistent at times, but definitely an option for you guys looking forward. The one piece of news there, our guy Stratford said it at the top of the hour, if you heard. And listen, Scott, I mean, I don't know. We've been talking about this for weeks. We have been telling the Minnesota Vikings the way they should have treated this injury. Inside Injuries was telling us how they should have treated this injury. It seems like the teams themselves always are the last to know, right? It seems like this Dalvin Cook injury really is like following the same exact script as the Leonard Fournette injury, right? Like, you know, stud second-year running back who's always had injury concerns, gets injured. The team holds him out for a couple of weeks, brings him back too soon. He's not ready, a little bit of a re-aggravation, and then they toy with it a little bit, but then ultimately shut the player down until like week 10 or 11. It seems like now that's the formula for Dalvin Cook in Minnesota, the same way that ultimately Jacksonville viewed Leonard Fournette, right?
Pretty much, you know, these teams maybe sometimes not being careful enough, at least, you know, that's the line that we can walk, you know, when we listen to people in Inside Injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. You know, when we were talking about Leonard Fournette, right? At one point in time, Scott, you saw the next man up as TJ Yeldon, and you had him as high as, I believe, 9 in in-season ranks. Yes. At one point in time. This was obviously before, like, the Carlos Hyde deal and things of that nature, right? But for that period of time, you viewed TJ Yeldon as a back-end RB1 and as high as number 9. I want to now continue this analogy with the Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook. You viewed TJ Yeldon very high at one point in time. What does that mean? Will you say the same thing for Latavius Murray in this situation? How high, for the next, 3 weeks, let's say, could you see Latavius Murray going? I see this week you have him as RB14 against the Saints.
Yeah, I did my in-season ranks yesterday on rotoexperts.com. I believe I had him at about number 21.
Of the in-season. But this week, I see on week 8, for this with this matchup, you have his number 14. So why higher this week than for the next, few weeks?
Well, I mean, obviously you got Ezekiel Elliott and
on bye.
And Melvin Gordon, on a bye. And, you have some other injuries that are playing into the mix.
Okay,
in-season's different than the lineup,
because there's no buys, you got to consider everybody.
Because you have to factor in that when I wrote it yesterday, that I was thinking that within 2 weeks that Dalvin Cook could be back. So that's why.
Okay. So just to pin it down there, for until Dalvin Cook returns, you are comfortable considering Lat Murray as an RB2, though, correct? Like, I know that it might be different.
He's
based
earned
on
it over the
injuries.
Last 2 weeks, yeah.
Right. So based on buys, this week at 14, he may be a high-end RB2, but even when you consider everybody in the mix, he still winds up, I think you mentioned, the ranking you had him still puts him in mid to back-end RB2 territory. So you're still, generally comfortable with that. And here's what I'll also throw out, especially like for, Scotty, I'm over on FanDuel right now, and I look at DFS, like with a guy like Isaiah Crowell. For example, they still have Bilal Powell assumed, in the pricing. So that could be a little bit of a value. I look at the Minnesota, and Minnesota's on Sunday night, I believe. So they're not up on the thing. But the same thing, I've had Lat Murray in my lineup a number of times, over the course of the last few weeks, because the pricing doesn't catch up as well. Last piece of news and notes that I want to bring up before, after the break, Scotty, we'll dive a little bit deeper into your week 8 ranks. Weird story to me out of Denver, okay? The Broncos cut Chad Kelly, and I know this isn't necessarily fantasy relevant per se, but it seems like Chad Kelly got arrested because of something after a party. It was a very bizarre story. Did you know that, Scotty, that it was Von Miller hosting a Halloween party? Okay, and then it looks like Chad Kelly had one too many, got a little belligerent, wound up in a stranger's house and trespassing, mumbling to himself on a sofa. And, I bring this up because Chad Kelly has had kind of off-the-field troubles all the way back since college at Ole Miss. But the talent was kind of undeniable, or at least the arm strength. He did, in fact, beat Alabama while at Ole Miss with Laquon Treadwell as his main wide receiver. And the thing is, there was some buzz in Denver that this guy was trending up in the right direction and, moved up from QB3 to QB2. And I don't think he had a chance to, unseat Case Keenum in the short term. But he was kind of trending up. He is, in fact, Jim Kelly. His nephew, he had an opportunity and he pissed it away. Just a sad story, right, Scott?
I guess so, yeah. But fantasy-wise, only in a 2-quarterback league would he be on the radar. But
I'm just thinking about maybe stashing as a dynasty guy, in the same way you would stash a Teddy Bridgewater kind of thing.
Yeah, I see it a dynasty league or a 2-quarterback league, but other than that, it's not really a story, fantasy-wise.
No, I know, but at the same time, where we as humans feel bad for Bilal Powell, we as humans, I think, want to make sure that Chad Kelly either gets the help he needs or winds up okay in this situation. When we come back, Scotty, on Roto Experts in the Morning, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge package and your Week 8 ranks. We're going to see where the matchups help, where the matchups hurt, and who you think is a fugazi for this week. It's Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning. Come on right back after this.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world.
Welcome back. Road to Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. I also want to let people know, Scotty, that if you enjoy playing DFS, but you're sick of the professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with scratches, and avoid the experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players you want, forget the salary caps, sign up using the promo code FNTSY, and you'll get a 50% deposit bonus, okay? That's going over to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code FNTSY for a sign-up bonus. You pick the matchups you want. Don't worry about salary caps. That's mybookie.ag with the promo code FNTSY. Scotty, you know, I was talking about the injuries and, like, how I don't really worry about them. AP is going to get Wednesdays off all the time. You mentioned that that is not uncommon for veterans, you know. I digress, though. Are there any injuries that you did see that are on your radar that, you know, are kind of a little different that we should be concerned about? Because I kind of don't worry about the ones that I see on Wednesday. I look about, you know, how it goes. But is it anything like Marlon Mack, limited practice? Looks like Cooper Kupp might not face the Packers. Is that maybe one that we should talk about? Cooper Kupp, maybe doubtful at this point to face Green Bay?
I think we kind of assume that. Coming in with Marlon Mack. Was he limited? Yeah, he was actually limited. That's something I'm going to watch, though, because anytime it's an ankle injury on a running back, you know, that is reason for concern. Matt Breida didn't practice, and there's talk that they may hold him out this week with the bye upcoming, and that makes Raheem Mostert a nice sneaky play this week against the Cardinals.
Does that make Alfred Morris viable as well?
Nah, it's going to be Raheem Mostert. I don't care what they say publicly. Coaches always lie publicly. Mostert is up, definitely ahead of him on the depth chart.
Cool. I know you're locked into the Seahawks, Scotty. Seahawks are facing the Detroit Lions. Golden Tate started the week limited. Does that matter to you, or you think he'll be ultimately fine?
Nah, he's limited. He'll be fine. This is a revenge game for him against although he left on his own volition, though, but you know,
yeah, but him and Russell Wilson certainly have some, you know,
yeah,
some storylines,
friends and stuff like that. You know, even if you left in a bad way, you know, you always want to outdo your buddies.
Sure, I mean, I'm alluding to it. You do know the story of the things between Golden Tate and Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
I heard about that. Yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, we'll see if they shake hands or anything like that after the game. Similar to Kevin Garnett and Carmelo Anthony, let's say. But in any event, I digress. Let's. I'm looking at your Week 8 rankings, Scott. And remember, this is now different than your in-season rankings. Okay, so just to clarify for the listeners out there who have the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package, who have entered the promo code El Rey at checkout. Your in-season ranks is sort of not like a long-term view, but what I call a medium-term view for like over the next month or so. These in-season ranks, you know, factor the matchup and are for this week, okay? So for a lot of your sit-start questions for this week, you could look at these rankings and, you know, considering all those factors get in. I want to look at the running backs, okay? And Scott, you know, I'm not looking at the top 10 running backs. We know about those guys. You're starting Kareem Hunt. You're starting Joe Mixon. You're starting James White. We know this. You even have Lindsey and McCaffrey in your top 10. David Johnson to return to the top 10 as well. But I want to look a little bit lower down at some guys where, you know, it might be a difference of if you sit them or if you start them. I'm thinking about a 12-team league where you start two running backs. So I look right at number 24, right? And I'm looking right around there. You have some guys on this barrier that right at that line that you are higher on than others and some that you are lower on than others. So those are the ones I want to talk about. First one up for me is TJ Yeldon. You have TJ Yeldon as RB19. Okay, so that's definitively an RB2. My question for you is, what do you expect, if anything, out of Carlos Hyde? And is he ready to become part of a timeshare? And if so, what does that mean for Yeldon?
I'm not expecting too much. It's probably the first game that Hyde's going to be active. And also, okay. I don't know if I could expect him to be more than a change of pace back. But again, running back rankings, outside of, say, the top, 7 or 8 this week, they're very, very dicey, showing how uncertain the position is overall. So, you would think in a week like this that in years past, like a running back with that kind of situation would be ranked more like towards the late 20s, early 30s. But I don't know if we could expect too much from Carlos Hyde just yet.
Okay. So you don't think the threat is too big to TJ Yeldon, and at least for this week, Yeldon is still a solid RB2 in your opinion. Listen, Scotty,
I wouldn't say solid RB2. I don't think anything outside the top 10 or so is solid, but I think it points to him being more involved. You expect him to be more involved, but it's anything but solid. It's dicey. For all we know, Carlos Hyde could come out and start. And Yeldon can be put in the rearview mirror. It's, I'm just trying to read this thing as best I can. And all I can say is Carlos Hyde's first game being active.
Right. I mean, I say solid RB2. What I mean out of that is you have him, the RB2s are numbers 13 through 24 in your ranks. And number 19 is right in the middle of that. So he's not a front-end RB2. He's not a back-end RB2. You have him right there in the middle in your RB2 ranks, no? I mean,
That doesn't mean solid.
Yeah, but if you thought Hyde was a threat, then you'd have Yeldon lower, right?
No, not necessarily. It's all relative to who's at the position. I wouldn't say that anybody, going over it here, I wouldn't say anybody past 17 is solid. I can't count on Kenyon Drake to do anything. He's
right, but
he's
to your point about being relative, you're counting on him more than Chris Carson, than Doug Martin, than Lamar Miller, who you have behind him in your ranks.
Right, but all of those guys are dicey, though. But when you use the word solid, that's totally inapplicable. Anybody from 18 down is not solid.
I think this is semantics, Scott, and I think there's ways of interpreting the words.
I don't know if it is semantics, though, to be honest.
Of course it is, Scott.
No, it isn't, because, if you say, in my ranks, a guy is solid,
yes.
I think everybody from basically like past 15, nobody's solid. It's just I like some guys more than others. Nobody's – TJ Yeldon's not a solid start. This is talking about the state of running back right now. None of them are solid. You can't – I don't think you can rely on anybody below Kerryon Johnson this week.
So are you then saying, Scott, that in your ranks after number 15, that you can put number 16 through, pick a number 35 or whatever it is, and that they really, it does not matter?
No.
So when we get six
That's why I have some guys ranked ahead of,
right.
of others.
That is my exact point, Scott.
TJ Yeldon is a little bit more safer to me than, say, Isaiah Crowell or Jalen Richard.
So what is the difference in your opinion of the word safe and solid?
That I feel comfortable about using them. I don't feel comfortable about popping any of these guys in my lineup past number 15, but I don't have a choice.
Right, but you feel more comfortable about having Alex Collins, let's say, than Jordan Howard. That's what
right,
the rankings
Right, but that doesn't
indicate.
Mean any of them are solid, though.
That's one way of you viewing the words. We should move on. Let's talk about another running back here that you have within your top 30, and that is Mike Davis. You have him 11 spots higher than the consensus, who has him at 41. So you view him better, more stable, safer, more solid than the industry. Talk to me about why you have more faith in Mike Davis than the consensus.
Again, stable, solid, safe. None of the words that I apply to Mike Davis. Once I'm getting past, say, number 20, 26 or 25, I'm like, out of all these guys, the dregs, like, who would I use most out of desperation? And Mike Davis always has goal line possibilities. But you look at the guys around him, like Kenjon Barner, Nyheim Hines. It's like, you know, past number 30, there's nobody I actually really want to have in my starting lineup at all. It's so thin right now that I feel like anybody outside of number 28 is a total desperation play.
So let me ask you this then, Scotty. maybe, Bivona, we'll hold off on that. So let me ask you this, Scotty. If you get a Twitter question, right, from one of your 30,000-plus followers, right, and they say, this week, do you like Isaiah Crowell or Jordan Howard? Are you to say that your response to them is like, neither, it's a crapshoot,
no,
and not have an opinion?
Obviously not. I have one guy ranked ahead of another, so obviously I'm going to pick Crowell. I'm not going to say neither. You know, if I go down to say, if
but
you
it
ask
sounds like what
me,
you're saying
say,
is it doesn't matter.
No, I don't know. I don't know if you're following me. It's like,
oh, I'm
not saying it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is some of these guys are not reliable. They're not solid, but some have more upside, or I feel some of the guys have more potential to give you a decent or good outing than others.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Just remember it
but
about
they're
10
all
minutes.
Very. I think the
just
best
remember
way
it about
to
10 say, minutes when I bring it back to this. That's all.
The best way to describe it is all these guys are very risky, but the ones who are right ahead either have more upside or are less risky than the next guy.
Right, I understand this completely. In some ways, you're talking about these things as a relative thing, and in some types of, and then in some conversations, you're talking about it as an absolute thing. And one, it can't be both. Either these are relative things, rankings are relatively speaking, confidence is relative to other things, or these are absolute statements that you have faith in one. It's one or the other. Either the rankings are relative to each other or they are not. But we will digress. Let's move on to the wide receivers and apply the same logic. If we go to wide receiver, same kind of thing. We don't need to talk about the top guys. The wide receiver ones are the wide receiver ones. They are what they are. You, however, Scotty, in PPR rankings, which we're considering our standards kind of moving forward, you have Alshon Jeffrey as a wide receiver two, number 17 overall. He's facing that Jacksonville Jaguars secondary and defense will likely have Jalen Ramsey on him. It looks like the industry kind of values Jalen Ramsey's coverage a little bit more than you. You have him 9 spots higher than the industry at number 17, definitively in your relative rankings in the wide receiver two territory.
Yeah, I don't want to label anything, but, you know, I like him at 17 because, you know, I just feel that, you know, we've seen that this Jacksonville defense is, you know, not what we thought it was. And number two, I think Carson Wentz is going to have to throw a lot here. This is an important game for them.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, they probably will have to throw. Think about their running backs there, the Smallwoods and the Clements up against that front seven of Jacksonville. We shall see if the Philadelphia Eagles do, in fact, take that tack. Let me ask you this. When it comes to that Eagles-Jaguars game, the total is 42, Scott, and that's pretty low. So Vegas, at least, is, in my opinion, still honoring this Jacksonville defense to a certain extent here with a relatively low total. Are you thinking this is going to be a defensive kind of struggle, or might Blake Bortles come out firing, trying to, you know, hold on to his job? Do you see the over or the under in this game? 42 is the current total.
Like you said, come out firing, you know, playing for his job here. Because now he's under some pressure here. And I don't think either defense is shut down, especially Philadelphia, so I'll take the over.
Okay, you say some points will be scored in that game over there in London. Let's look at some other wide receivers right around this territory that I'm intrigued by. I'm intrigued where you have both of the Patriots wide receivers. You have him both in, they're both in wide receiver two territory, but you have Josh Gordon ranked ahead of Julian Edelman, albeit just by a couple of spots. The consensus ranks have Edelman 4 spots ahead of Gordon. You have Gordon 4 spots ahead of Edelman. You have them both in back end wide receiver two territory. Talk to me about these two wide receivers, and do you see any impact of, you know, Sony Michel likely missing the game? Rob Gronkowski didn't practice. You know, the Patriots don't have to release a report until a little bit later on because they are Monday Night Football. But what's impacting your rankings on these two wide receivers, and is the Gronk or Sony Michel availability any factor there?
I think the Michel thing is a little bit, plays a little to a little bit But, you know, I just think they're going to roll all over Buffalo. And, you know, Gordon's got some upside coming off of a 100-yard game. Edelman hasn't shown the upside yet, but he's reliable. And in any given week, you know, he can bust out for his first big game of the season. So I don't know how much it'll affect. Like, I'm not taking Gronk into account because he's expected to play. But I think Gordon's found a comfortable role with this team.
Yeah, you know, we've seen reports saying that Tom Brady is growing in confidence with Josh Gordon, starting to give him some 50-50 balls, things of that nature. A great weapon to have on the outside as the Patriots move along in their threat to repeat in the AFC, at least. One guy that I want to ask you about that you were lower on this level, and I thought he was kind of ascending, getting more targets with Baker Mayfield. You like the matchup against Pittsburgh, where their passing defense has not been anything to write home about. What's up with Jarvis Landry, Scott? You have him a little bit lower than the consensus. The consensus has him right on that wide receiver 1-2 fringe. You have him six spots lower as wide receiver 18.
Because I think the number top 16 is locked in. And I like Jeffrey a little bit more. And Landry just doesn't get in the end zone enough. So, you know, I think that pushes him back a little bit for me.
Okay, fair enough. Let me ask you about, I got a Twitter question yesterday, and I gave an answer that it looks like you agree with. And a lot of people, like, you know, chimed in, and trolls were saying the opposite. Someone was asking me about starting, and to be quite honest, it's interesting. I have both of these players in our GST league, and I know where I'm going. But the two players are Kenny Golladay and your guy, Doug Baldwin, Scott. You have Kenny Golladay 25. Doug Baldwin is 33. They're facing each other. I also said Eileen Golladay, but a lot of people were telling me that, well, Baldwin is the number one wideout in Seattle, whereas Golladay is not. He's part of a wide receiver herd along with Jones and Tate there. You believe in Golladay, it looks like, this week more than Baldwin, at least by eight spots in your rankings. Tell me why you agree with me when I answered the social media question that I would lean Golladay over Doug Baldwin.
Health, you know. Baldwin's not 100% healthy. He's playing on two shaky knees.
I see. Okay. Do you think, does big play Darius Slay matter in this equation for you? Who should be on Baldwin? I don't know if he's going to shadow him or not, but I feel like Slay is under-respected as one of the top corners in the game.
I think, you know, he might be more on the outside against Tyler Lockett. You got Baldwin in the slot. You know, or I really, you know, I don't know if Slay's going to move around to cover Baldwin or not there. I don't think it's something you can count on. And, you know, Lockett's been scoring against everybody, too, so I'm not bumping him down either. But I really don't think coverage, you know, factored into this for me. It's more about health.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And that's why we do factor all of these considerations. It may be tougher to run for Seattle this week because the Lions might have Snacks Harrison there patrolling that defensive front as well. When we come back, we look at the tight ends and think about some defenses to stream this week as well. Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on, right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. We're looking at his week 8 ranks. We were talking about some wide receivers. We've mentioned the running backs already as well.
Horrible.
Listen, what's up?
This is horrible.
Music-wise?
Yeah, it's like, in my personal opinion, it's okay. Like some mashup of the old Rocky IV song. Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know.
Music's
I really have nothing to say about
some
that.
People enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I got nothing to say because, you know, it's not my genre that I know about much. So, hey, we can agree on this one, though, Scotty.
Yeah.
We can agree on this one. Hey.
Golladay.
No, Scotty, you know your part. Come on. That's my
okay,
part.
Go ahead.
Your part is the, yeah, come on. Because it would be, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Scott.
Celebrate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It would be so nice Hey, Scotty, let's look at these quarterbacks. Listen, I got people on social media hit me up being like, I got Rivers on bye, and I'm worried about my backup situation. And here's what I don't understand. All right, Scotty, like, I have Rivers in one of my teams, right? And I knew that I'm starting Rivers pretty much week in, week out. He's having a very good season, right? But I knew that week 8 was his bye. So what do? I look and I see who of the kind of, like, streaming quarterbacks have the best matchup for week 8. Like, why invest in a guy as your backup and then, like, know then that the one time you need to call upon him, you don't like the matchup? Fine, that's exactly what you do, is find something where the matchup helps you in the 1 week that you need him. Does that make sense, Scotty? So, for example, your guy Mitchell Trubisky, who you've been touting and is now number 9 in your ranks, he might be a guy who, if you had Phillip Rivers, if you had Matt Ryan, right? These are guys, this is the way you target your bye week fill-ins. Am I correct here, Scott?
Yeah, I think so, but, you know, I only really do it for, you know, quarterback, because things change so much at running back as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it also brings to mind what I talked about at the top of the show. Last night I made a trade in my Dynasty League. I'm just not comfortable with Matthew Stafford anymore, you know, because I just don't feel there's upside. And I do have Keenum in his backup, you know, I guess I'm okay with that, because, you know, I only have to use him once. But I actually, in my Dynasty League, it was interesting. Like, a guy kept asking me for a first-round pick, you know, because I floated out an offer to try to get Roethlisberger for him, because he's got Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Winston. And he kept asking for a first-round pick. I'm like, dude, you're not getting it. But he said, what if, you know, if we swapped a conditional pick, whereas if you finish behind me in the standings, that that we get to swap first-round picks. And my first reaction was like, I like that, but isn't that collusion, though? Because, you know, I can't negotiate with anybody else about my first-round pick. And then we ran it by the commissioner. I said, there's nothing in the rules that addresses conditional picks. And, you know, the commissioner was okay with it. So I said, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's legal as well. Listen, in the NBA, there's like conditional draft picks, right, or parts of trade. And here's the thing, Scott. I do think you can continue to use the first round pick in other trade negotiations. You just have to be clear with that other third owner, right, that this condition exists, that your first round pick may be yours or it may be this other guy's. And if another owner understands that condition, then you can continue to use those as assets and pieces in future negotiations. Like, if that was me, Scott, and I knew, you know, let's that you have either your pick or, you know, Mike Blewett's first round pick, and then you're saying that you would deal that pick, whichever it is, to me in another deal, I now am clear and it's transparent, and I know that it's either going to be the, you know, whatever it is, it's going to be the number 4 or it's going to be the number 7, whatever, and I have to know that context, and then I get to decide if I want to make a deal. I think that's all right. Let me ask you about a quarterback tonight, Scott. Deshaun Watson. You know my position on him, Scott. I am worried for this man's health. The man can't even ride a plane right now. You have him further down than most. You have Deshaun Watson as QB 18 this week, or tonight, in fact, at home against Miami. You have CJ Beathard as QB 17. So you are recommending to start CJ Beathard over Deshaun Watson. Explain that to the people.
Deshaun Watson's really banged up and not putting up good numbers. C.J. Beathard will get volume, and he's playing against Arizona. He puts the ball up a lot. So I think C.J. Beathard just has a little bit more statistical upside.
All right, fair enough. And at the same time, remember, we have been talking about the Arizona Cardinals defense as a stream in previous weeks. But you said you don't think they're going to do as well against San Fran as what they did a couple weeks ago against San Fran, correct? Is the Arizona defense not one that you are recommending to stream?
Oh, no, I like them. I think there's going to be sacks and turnovers. But at the same time, you know, Beathard, except for against the Rams, has shown that he could put up some numbers.
Okay. You know, we only have a couple minutes left here. We got about 10 minutes left, Scotty. Let's look at the tight end position. You know, because as you know, tight end is a wasteland. Someone might have Austin Hooper on bye or others. we know the top guys. I mentioned the top six earlier in the show as it related to Ebron and how you like Trey Burton. We talk about Njoku all the time. I'm looking a little bit lower in that streaming territory. You have Jared Cook outside of your top 12. You are lower on him than most. I know you are down on him in general. You don't like him necessarily as a player. But listen, Scott, I mean, no Marshawn Lynch, no Amari Cooper anymore. Like, someone has to get the production for Oakland.
Do they? You know, this team scored 3 points before the bye.
This team also put up 40-some-odd in overtime against Cleveland, though, too, at home.
Yeah, but still, it's, you know, this team is depleted now. And, you know, just because they're missing pieces, can we trust anybody to step up here? And Jared Cook may get more defensive attention now. So, again, you know, the guys had two big games and nothing else. You know, I don't trust him at all what the situation is.
Okay, so do you think this is an opportunity for any Raider to, you know, show more production than they have? Because, I mean, like, I hear you, and it's not like this offense, you know, I'm down on it overall as well. But, like, by definition, you know, Marshawn Lynch and Amari Cooper had pieces of the pie. So regardless of how big the pie is, someone's getting a bigger slice of it. Who do you think that's going to be?
I don't know if I always agree with that concept. Like, here's the pie. And then a guy doesn't know how to eat with it. You know, that's one thing. But I will say that, you know, Martavis Bryant has some upside, but it's a total shot in the dark.
Okay. I'm over on FanDuel, Scotty. And I'm looking at wide receivers in this game, the Indianapolis-Oakland game, because to be quite honest, I'm looking at this as a potential stack. The total in this game is 50, right? So you're in the 50s, so I like that. And we were talking about the Indianapolis Colts, right? And so I'm thinking about Andrew Luck. I'm thinking about if I can get one more week out of Eric Ebron. You made a great point that Chester Rogers may be a cheap kind of play as well. So I was intrigued by that yesterday. But then I look at the wide receivers on the other side of this game. Jordy Nelson and Martavis Bryant have the same price that's relatively cheap. They are both even less than Chester Rogers, Scott. They are both $5,300 on FanDuel. Martavis Bryant and Amari Cooper. Would you agree if I said a premise that Jordy Nelson might be the cash game play and Martavis Bryant maybe a tournament swing for the fences? They're both at $5,300. I think there's some value there.
Yeah. Now, when I talk about something from seasonal, I don't want to use either one of these guys. But
right.
When you're talking about DFS, no, they're not going to be widely owned, especially Jordy Nelson. But, you know, Bryant is a swing for the fences. And, you know, I'm okay with it because he's not going to be highly owned, and it could make a difference in you placing higher in a tournament.
That's the Martavis Bryant. What about Jordy Nelson at $5,300? Cash game?
I really don't like him much at all. I think he's going to get more defensive attention now. I don't know how much he can do at this point.
Okay. These guys are real close in your tight end rankings, Evan Engram and Kyle Rudolph. A lot of people are asking me about Kyle Rudolph. Listen, you know, we know how tight ends have been this season. Kyle Rudolph, I believe, has underperformed. Kyle Rudolph coming into this season was viewed in that, you know, I don't know, roughly, let's say, tight end 6 through 10 kind of category. He was definitely viewed as a potential tight end 1. He's all the way down. I'm trying to find where he is so far this season. He's not as bad as I thought. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's tight end 10 right now so far. But for some reason, I feel like we haven't heard much from him. Maybe that's because he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 3. Listen, the last couple of games, Scott, you told me about the Jordan Reed stat lines in the last few games. Last few games from Kyle Rudolph, 1 catch for 16 yards against the Jets, 4 catches for 37 yards against the Cardinals, 5 catches for 41 yards against the Eagles. Those are not great games either for a tight end that was drafted to be a week-to-week starter. What's up with Kyle Rudolph?
You know, it's really all about Adam Thielen and everybody else right now. And that's the thing. You know, he scored twice in the first 3 games, and he had that nice game on September 16th at Green Bay. But ever since the calendar's turned from September, it's, you know, he's been mediocre. And the fact that you mentioned where he ranks in overall points in tight end speaks a lot to the position. Kyle Rudolph's no longer a tight end 1.
Even though he's gotten the 10th most points so far this year. So, like, look, he's ahead of – yep. Go ahead.
Again, it's, you know, like we talked about with my ranks. If you were to say that Kyle Rudolph is a solid or a good back tight end one, no, that he's not. You know, you look at the production for the last month, it's not good. You know, he's 10th overall, but then that means that, oh boy, I bet have one of the top eight or I'm in trouble.
All right, fair enough. Would you rather?
And there are other guys that
forward?
Have come on recently that are ranked lower.
That's what I was going to mention.
If you look at things, for example, it doesn't always pan out the way it should.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to mention. So, for example, would you rather have CJ Uzomah over Kyle Rudolph?
Oh, CJ Uzomah for sure.
Okay, fair enough. Another guy in that vein, Chris Herndon. I know you like.
Yeah. I think he's got.
Would you rather have Herndon than Rudolph?
For the rest of the season, it's getting close.
In your in-season ranks, kind of thing, in the medium term.
Yeah,
let's say.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. It's getting close, but if he does this for another week or two, he's going to pass Rudolph. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, and I think that's to your point, Scotty. Like this idea that sometimes people know the name. You know, it's like the name recognition. My man Chris Bavona, the Manimal, our cinephile, knows. Remember that Eddie Murphy movie, The Distinguished Gentleman? The idea of name recognition is really, you know, a thing in fantasy football, right? You know, and so people. Underrated movie. Thank you, Bavona. Nah, you know about that one, Scotty?
I wouldn't say that. Something
James
not
Johnson,
underrated.
Is that what it was?
Just because one person that likes it and everybody else doesn't.
Oh, so you didn't like that movie, Scotty?
I don't think I ever sat down and watched more than
a half
hour.
Oh, so how do you say you don't like it if you've never watched it?
No, I tried to sit through it and I couldn't do it.
Okay. All right, well, fair enough. You know, listen, Eddie Murphy.
Again, you know how I am when it comes to words. You know, it's, you know, I'm an editor, but I have a problem with.
I know, which is why it's funny when
something is underrated or overrated. You know, something's not underrated based on just your singular opinion of it.
Okay. You know, I do know you're an editor. And, Scotty, that's why sometimes I think it's interesting when the semantics, when I disagree with you on the semantics, because I've been a copy editor in my life as well. But we'll get into that another time. Hey, Bavona, I'll bring you in here. You want to talk about the distinguished gentleman over here?
Yeah, the only thing
James Johnson, the name you know?
The only thing I'm going to say about, like, when you say something's underrated, the reason why I say it's underrated is because most people don't really think of The Distinguished Gentleman for an Eddie Murphy movie. You think of The Nutty Professor. You think of Beverly Hills Cop. You think of those movies.
Boomerang, baby.
Boomerang is such a great movie. The Golden Child's not even that bad. Distinguished Gentleman is a... All right. I'll give you that one. It's actually not that great. I personally like it, but that's besides the point. Distinguished Gentleman is just one of those movies that Eddie Murphy was just so good in, but it just didn't get the recognition for, you know, one reason or another, and that's why I think it's quote-unquote underrated.
Yeah, but when you say that, you say everybody else doesn't talk about it, give it the credit it does, it's because they didn't like the movie. When you're saying something's underrated or overrated, you're essentially saying that everybody else should have a different opinion of it than they do.
Absolutely not. I'm not saying that.
That's what underrated means by dictionary definition.
What I mean,
these are all relative terms, and everyone is talking about this relative to different things. People are talking about relative to the consensus.
When things are subjective, they can't be underrated or overrated.
No, I'm saying that
that's
it's underrated because
ridiculous.
It was just.
No, it's not.
My reasoning for underrated has nothing to do with people saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that most people didn't really get a chance to see it. Kind of like how people didn't get to see the movie The Black Cauldron, this one Disney movie, because it got overpowered by the movie The Land Before Time. That's what I'm saying.
Most people who saw it said it stunk.
What, The Black Cauldron?
See, but you're no, that's ridiculous, Scott. Your perspective of most is, like, different. You don't know the perspective of every single person. This is a relative thing, and that's what I'm saying.
Of course,
you don't
not
know
the every single person.
Either.
Obviously,
right,
Chris,
but you are
obviously
claims.
Chris has a different opinion of it, but when you're talking about something overrated or overrated, you're talking about a group opinion, a mass opinion, and just because you like something and everybody else doesn't mean it's underrated.
But it is relative to a control, Scott. But I digress. We got 2 minutes. Let's talk about some defenses here. There are some defenses that you like better than others that you may believe are underrated by the consensus because you like them better than the consensus. We're talking about Washington. We're talking about Seattle. We're talking about Kansas City. You have them higher than the consensus, so you feel the consensus has underrated these defenses for the week. Talk to me about these, Washington, Kansas City, and Seattle.
Yeah, I don't want to get dangerous there because we don't have much time left, but I think underrating and overrating things from fantasy rankings perspectives is different. But to your point, I think sometimes people don't look at certain defenses and see where they're rated, actually. And I'm not trying to disrespect any other fantasy experts, but Seattle's defense is like the second-best defense in the NFL right now, and I really like the matchup for Washington. And I'm basing these things more on sacks and turnovers than points allowed, which I think a lot of people generally do.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're attacking those offenses, right? We saw the New York Giants couldn't protect Eli Manning at all, so that may be seeing that Washington may get some sacks as well. You don't have as much faith in Jacksonville this week. You're dropping them down. We've seen them down over the last couple of weeks arguing with each other. You would have Washington, Kansas City, or Seattle even over the Jacksonville defense, huh?
Yeah, because I just think I don't think Carson Wentz is going to turn the ball over a lot, and I think they're going to score some points there.
Real quick, Scotty, tonight, Miami and Houston. Houston's a 7.5-point favorite. Give me one word here, Miami or Houston. Houston is minus 7.5.
Yeah, they're not going to cover.
All right, so you like Houston to win but not cover?
Yes. Dolphins will be 4-4.
But they're not a survivor pick for you, right? No survivor picks? No, we're not making any official picks? All right, we'll do all that tomorrow, Scotty. Have a great day, brother man. We'll talk tomorrow. FST up next.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.